If you will, take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we commanded. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living or eat their own bread. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. This is the sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. It is the way I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. Again, Father, we come to you even as we look to your word. We ask that you would speak, O Lord. You have spoken, but once again, would you take up your word and speak to our minds, and ultimately let the truth go all the way within. Let our hearts be affected. Lord, we thank you that you give us the truth, that your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to trust in our or lean on our own understanding, but we can acknowledge you in all things, and you will make our paths straight. Lord, will you direct our paths this night as we look to this word? And it is through Jesus that I ask this blessing. Amen. Amen. So, in the Lord Jesus Christ, do their work quietly and earn their own living or eat their own bread. A question I'd like to ask, and hopefully we can answer through Scripture this afternoon, is why should we work? Why should we work? If we understand the reason we work, then when we experience difficulty with work, we can persevere. If you know why you work, then when it becomes difficult, you can persevere, push through, continue on. Most of the time, we think of work as going out and making money. But let us think more generally of work. Let us think of all the labor, all the toil, all the exertion and effort that we put forward. So what is the labor of your life? We certainly would not want to limit our understanding of work to only going out and making money. What is the labor of your life? Why do you exert yourself? There are many things that we are working for, but the question is, why should we work? Why should we work? If you have a good reason to work, then you will be more motivated in the work that you do. So all these are introductory questions and comments setting us up. Let's go through a list of reasons that we should not work before we get to a list and see reasons we should work. Some things we've already learned from the Bible as we've considered contentment and covetousness. We learned that we need to be satisfied in the simple things. I hope y'all have been thinking on that for the last couple of weeks. Be satisfied in the simple things. Another thing is we don't work because we desire to be rich. We do not work because we desire to be rich. We saw in 1 Timothy 6 and 9, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. So we can see very clearly we don't want to work because we desire to be rich, because we know we're headed into a trap. We also do not work because we love money. We do not work because we love money. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. So, again, why should we work? We're using some of this information we've seen from the scriptures already to kind of form our idea of certainly reasons we don't want to go to work or don't want to toil. We don't want to labor. We don't want to exert ourselves for these purposes. We do not work because we love money. And we don't work just because we want more things. That's not a reason, just to want more things, just to pile more stuff up. For Jesus said, take care, be on your guard against all covetousness, to have more possessions. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And we don't work to keep everything for ourselves. That's not the reason that we're working. If we do work to keep everything for ourselves, then we're acting like a fool to lay up treasure for ourselves. This is foolish. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So there we go. As we start to answer this question, we have also begun to answer it in the reasons we do not work, but why should we work? One more reason we don't work. We don't work for salvation. I know we hear it a lot, but we should never get tired of this story. The story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The truth is we actually can't work for our salvation. So remember, we don't work for our salvation. The most common passage that we look to about that is Ephesians chapter 2. So if you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, or one that I look to regularly. We do not work for salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. The only way a person will be saved is by God's grace. It's by God's grace. The way salvation comes to a person is through faith. And so this is trust and dependence upon Christ as Savior. We should remember this continually. We should rejoice in this good news. Some people have the idea that faith is something that we can work up. Got to have more faith. I will just flex my faith muscle. But Paul teaches that God's grace is a gift, and the faith through which salvation is received is a gift. And so it's not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. What is not of yourselves? Of course, God's grace is not of yourselves, and the faith is not of yourself. Faith is not something that a person produces by their own power. No, it is the power of God working in a person. The fact that you believe that Jesus is the only way and truth and life, and not just belief, it's not just an intellectual assent, it's not something that you'll agree to in your mind, but this is your trust, your dependence upon Jesus as your for the forgiveness of sins, the trust of the only way of eternal life, your dependence on Jesus for salvation, this, the fact that you have this belief and this trust, this means that the gift of God's grace has been given to you. And of course, that's through faith. Verse 9 goes on and says, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. Salvation is all a work of God. Salvation is not a result of the work that you have done. No, before we are saved, before God gives us life of the Spirit, you remember the scripture says you are dead in your sins and trespasses. So why is it important that we understand salvation is all a work of God? Because we would boast about our own work. We would boast about our own work. Look at what I have done. Let me pat myself on the back. I have just helped God save me. You see, there's great purposes in the way that God works. It's not the result of works, our works, so that no one may boast. Paul writes that no one may boast of their own effort in accomplishing their salvation. And it is ridiculous to think that we have a part in accomplishing our salvation. Certainly we possess the faith. We have saving faith. We must depend. So if you don't have saving faith, I tell you this afternoon, you must depend and trust upon Jesus Christ. Jesus is your only hope. But when we think about the parts of salvation, the accomplishment of our salvation, the application of our salvation, God the Father had a part. He sent His only begotten Son. God the Son had a part. He submitted to the will of the Father. Jesus died to pay for the sins of the people of God. God the Holy Spirit had a part. The Holy Spirit does the work of making one alive in Christ. And so we're thinking about work, and don't forget, we don't work for our salvation. Jesus says you must be born of the Spirit. It doesn't say you must be born of your own effort. And you feel like you're left out. And I could feel like I'm left out of our salvation. We're starting to get the point. It is all a work of God to the praise of His glorious grace. If you've been given His grace, if you've been given the gift of faith, now let us praise His great name. And so what are we to do? The Bible says we are to receive the salvation of God. All who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. With that reception, with that command that we certainly should trust and believe and depend upon Jesus, also comes the command to repent, to turn away from our sin, to turn to Christ. And it is by grace that these are possible. Don't forget the invitation that Jesus offers. Come unto me, Jesus says, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus doesn't say work really hard. Jesus does not say work hard, be good enough, work really hard to be good enough, then I will save you. That's not what he says. He says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Jesus is not hiding from you. He's not playing a trick on you. Jesus invites all sinners, come to me, and I will give you rest. Our souls can have rest because of Jesus' work. Jesus accomplished salvation for sinners. Just let that good news sink in. Because we're going to get ramped up here in a moment about work. We're not going to play around about our responsibility to be workers. But let us be very clear that we do not work for our salvation. Sit back and rest and enjoy the sweet invitation that Jesus offers. And those that have tasted and seen and know that the Lord is good, what a sweet burden was lifted off of us. The burden of our sin was lifted off, and fellowship with the Lord began at salvation. God works for our salvation. We don't work for our salvation. Think about it. We don't have to work to save ourselves. We can rest in Jesus. But once you have been saved, there is a lot of work to do. So as we're kicked back in the pew right now at this moment, and you're resting in grace, those that have trusted and depended upon Jesus, we're going to be here for a while, and we're always wanting to be resting in grace. But that gives us no permission to be on vacation permanently, to say that we have nothing to do. Because when we look in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, right after we find out we've been saved by grace, it's not our own work, rather it's a gift of God, and we're not to boast about our work, but God's work. Then in verse 10, we see we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so, now we're beginning to answer the question, why should we work? Why should we work? We should work after we're saved. It says there that all believers are workmanship of God. Based upon God's work, we're saved, but God expects us to labor in His vineyard now. The field of God is white with harvest. It's time for us to labor with a life full of good works for the glory of God. God prepared these good works beforehand that we should walk in them. Or we should have a manner of life of good work. Filled. Our life should be filled with good work. In the same way, Jesus says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You know, the labor of our life, this good work, the toil and the exertion, the reasons that we labor are to be a light to this world. And they're a light not to shine the spotlight on ourselves, but the light of our good works is supposed to shine the spotlight on to the praise and glory of the Father. You see, and last time we were home, I spoke about good works just kind of in general. And in Titus, we saw all over the letter to Titus about good works and the people of God. And so turn over there with me, the letter to Titus, and let's just review a few of those verses. The importance of a life of good works. Why should we work? We should work because God has worked to save us. We should work because we are God's workmanship. God has prepared these good works for us beforehand that we should walk in them. And so in Titus chapter 2, we see in verses 13 and 14, or Titus 2, 13 and 14, we're waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness. We're waiting on the Lord's return. He is the one who gave himself to redeem us, to purify himself, a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. That's who we are. Is that who I am? I said that's who we are as believers, but the question is that who I am? Am I zealous for good works, for glory, for the glory of God? Are you zealous? Oh, may we be, and may we devote ourselves to good works. Titus 3:8. Look at chapter 3, verse 8 of Titus. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. Are we devoted? Are we prepared ahead of time for these good works? And God's people, we are to learn to devote ourselves to good works. So it's something that we have to learn along the way. We were not born with this knowledge. Titus 3:14. Let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. We're getting the picture. There's a lot of work to do. I hope that it's clear to you. I hope that the believer sitting out there is saying to themselves now, okay, I've seen evidence from Scripture that I need to be about the Master's business. I need to be devoted. I need to be walking in these good works that God has prepared beforehand. I'm His workmanship. He saved me, and now it's for me to labor for His glory. It's for the spread of the gospel, for good toward others. There's a lot of work to do. But the Bible does, you know that the Bible does not make work an option? You say, well, I'm retired. Again, let's use the general definition. What is the labor, the toil, the exertion of our life? If you have labored in your vocation to the point that you've acquired enough wealth that you no longer have to labor to make money, that's good. That's great. But there's no retirement from the work of the Lord. There's no stopping serving the Savior. Again, we're not working for our salvation, but we want to glorify His great name. So everyone has labor and effort to get put forth. We are commanded to work. Everyone is commanded to be willing to work. And so now we're going to go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we see in verses 10 and 11. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Some people are willing to work, but are not able to work. So we must be careful on how to apply this scripture. We must be careful how to apply this scripture. If a person has a disability that prevents them from working, then we would not say that they cannot eat. Let's not get things backwards here. But all able-bodied people must work in some way. There are many different types of work. Some people go out and make money. I mean, naturally, a family's got to have money. An individual's got to have money. So many people, a lot of their exertion and toil is going out and working a job to make money. But some people work in the home all of their days. And there's great work in the home, necessary work in the home. Some have a physical labor job, and others will sit at a desk for their work. Some have the same work all of their life, But some people will do different jobs throughout their life. Whatever the case, we are commanded to work. The point is that we should not live a life of idleness or disorder with no discipline. This type of life does not accomplish anything. This type of life is not busy at work that the person should be doing. And again, go with the general idea of work. The person with disorder and lack of discipline is a busybody. And so, not busy at work, but busybodies helps word studies, helps us to break down this word busybodies. Again, it's a combination, compound word, two words put together in the Greek. All around, first idea, first word, definition of the first word, all around to work. All around to work. Work all around. So what are we going to say about this? Well, Helps Word Study says, to meddle. Going beyond proper boundaries where a person doesn't belong. Sometimes we like to get into other people's work more than we like to get into our own work. These busybodies all around to work. Again, Helps Word Studies, instead of doing what the person himself is supposed to do, to fixate on what others are doing and not to be focused upon our own work. Not busy at work, the focus that we ought to have, but rather busy bodies working all around. This is a temptation. We are commanded to work. We are commanded to work and specifically to focus on our own work. There, the body of Christ, consider it. There are many members, but there's one body. We can't all do the same work. Many things that the Lord calls us to do. We need to focus upon those things that the Lord's given us. So we work because the Lord has saved us and we're his workmanship. We work because we're commanded to work. It says there, if we don't work, then we should not eat. And also we work to provide for ourselves and for our family. And so we work to provide for ourselves. 2 Thessalonians 3:12. Look there at verse 12. Such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Or as I said before, work quietly and earn their own bread to eat. You get the point there. We need to be laboring to provide our own bread to eat or make our own money so we can go buy our own bread to eat. Paul says that he didn't want to be a burden. You see, we are to provide work to provide for ourselves. Scripture does not tell us that we have permission to be a burden upon others. We work to provide for our family. You can turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse 8. We work to provide for ourselves and we work to provide for our family. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. We are required to provide for our own family. If our parents, or we can think about it, our parents provided for us, and if they were in need, we should provide for them. I guess I'm making the application at this point to the adult child, providing for their parents. But we have to define in need. In need. So if our parent is in need, then we should provide for them. Not need based on a sinful act. To put it another way, God does not require a person to fund their family member's sin. God never says that we should fund our family member's sin. So if a parent has no money because they've gambled it all away and they're not repentant of this sinful gambling, then we are not obligated to provide them money to continue to gamble with. That's pretty straightforward. If a parent has no money because they're addicted to alcohol or drugs, then we have no responsibility to provide them money so they can continue in this sinful lifestyle. But if there's legitimate need, certainly the adult child would want to provide for that need as possible. We've been talking about parents being in need, but now let's talk about children that are still in the home, meaning children that are young enough to still be in the home and under their parents' care. All parents are required to provide for their children. The primary responsibility is on the husband, father of the family, because the husband, father is the leader of the family. We know that the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. We also know that fathers are not to provoke their children to anger, but to bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. The Bible does not say that parents should give their children all they want. That's not what the Bible says. But parents should provide for the children's need. And the children's need is instruction in the Lord. And the children's need is to be satisfied in the simple things. You know, parents should be careful about what they give their children. A child can be spoiled by getting everything they want. A child can be spoiled. Young children, we know, are not required to make money, but they should be required to work. Children should be taught to work from a young age. So why should we work? The application goes from the oldest of us in this gathering to the youngest of us in this gathering, basically. From a very young age, I think that children ought to be taught to work and required to do some sort of exertion and toil for the help of the family there. So we work to provide for ourselves, and we work to provide for our family. And saving for the future should also be considered when thinking of providing for ourselves and our families. We should save for the future to provide for future needs. Most people don't make money in old age. So it's wise to store up enough money to provide for future needs. There is nothing sinful about saving money. But there is something sinful about consuming all the money carelessly that we have. In Proverbs, we see that precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it. You get the difference? The wise person has something stored up, but the foolish person literally swallows or devours all they have. So we shouldn't be those type of people. Albert Barnes writes that every Christian should have some calling, business, or profession by which he may support himself. The Savior was a carpenter, Paul a tent maker, and no one is disgraced by being able to build a house or to construct a tent. He goes on, Christianity promotes industry. It is rare that an idle man becomes a Christian. But if he does, religion makes him industrious just in the same proportion as it has influence over his mind. And then he says, to talk of a lazy Christian is about the same as to talk of burning water or freezing fire. So, we are to work. From Scripture, we have seen that there are certainly a command. There are reasons we work. Provide for ourselves, provide for our family. But also, we should work to have something to give. We should work to have something to give. And we're going to end on this point, but let's spend a little time. The only reason we work is not just for ourselves. And it's not just for our family, but also we should work to have extra to give to others. And so let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Ephesians 4:28. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. This verse opens up those that should be giving, opens up that we should be giving to anyone who has need. There are many people in need around the world. So we should be people that are not just taking care of ourselves and our family, but we also should be having something to give to others that are in need. Christians throughout the ages have been people who meet needs. Christians have started schools to provide education about God and the world that God has made. Christians have started hospitals to meet physical needs of those who are suffering in body. Christians start homeless shelters to give food and shelter to those who have none. Most of all, Christians are the only ones in the world that can provide for spiritual needs. We are the only ones that can labor, and the labor can result in eternal benefits towards souls, eternal praise of the Lord's grace by these individuals that receive the gospel. We can labor to provide for spiritual needs. Christians share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. More then, as people believe, they receive the gospel, more people will glorify the Lord Himself. People can be reconciled to God. People can experience right relationship with God. And these people will inherit eternal life. So there's many reasons that we should work. I'm sure that we can continue to bring up more reasons that we work. These are some general ones. But you might be thinking, I'm too busy trying to take care of myself and my family. I don't have time to give, or I don't have money to give. I don't hardly have enough money to take care of myself or my family. How am I going to follow these teaching or these commands from Scripture? Well, the truth is that some of you have more time and some of you have more money. Give what you have for the glory of God. Use the resources that He has put in our hands. We're just stewards. These are not really our things. They're things that God has entrusted to us. If you have time, then give your time for the labor of the gospel and the ministry to souls and simply to help others. Take your children with you so that they can learn how to serve others, whatever it may be. Whoever, there might be somebody in the church that has a need, and you could help meet that need. If you have money, of course, give money for the support of things that glorify God. That's the idea. We're not just trying to give money out for the sake of giving money out. We want to give in such a way that God is glorified and people are really helped. Good Lord willing, we'll be able in the future to talk about a little more detail about how we would use these things that God has given us. But we should work to have something to give. And you know, Paul reminds us of what Jesus said. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Albert Barnes again says the human race is one great brotherhood. A considerable part cannot labor to support themselves. They are too old or too young. They are crippled or feeble or laid on beds of sickness. And if others do not divide with them the avails of their labor, they will perish. Now, we say, oh, well, the government will take care of them. But we wouldn't say that would be God's plan for the care of the needy and the sick and the poor. We would say that the church would be God's plan for that. And so Barnes goes on and says, we are required to labor that we may have the privilege of contributing to their comfort. And we should in labor in order means to have a means to have good to do to others. It should be just when we're thinking about our work and we think, oh, what's my plan? What's my financial plan? I have to need to be making this much money, and I'll be able to take care of myself and my family. Albert Barnes says it should be just as much a matter of plan and purpose to do this, to labor in order to buy a coat or build a house for ourselves than live comfortably. He says, how few are those who have such an end in view that when they toil daily, that they're thinking, I'm out there working hard every day, and I'm thinking, let me have something to give away as I'm laboring. Wow. What a perspective as we think about the reasons that we labor. We're talking about why should we work. Barnes says, how few are those who labor with an end on, let me labor so that I can have something to give away. Wow. He said the world would soon be converted when all Christians make that purpose of life. And so, again, in the future, I hope we will talk a little more about good ways to give for the glory of God and the furtherance of the gospel. Certainly, this church is already using resources for that purpose, so maybe I can bring out some more of those. But let me conclude. There are many reasons that we should not work. Let's get them settled. We don't work because we desire to be rich. We don't work because we love money. We don't work to try to save ourselves. So why? Why do we work? Why are you going to get up in the morning? The alarm clock goes off, beep, beep, beep. You'd like to lay in bed. Why are you going to get out of that bed and toil and exert yourself and labor tomorrow? We work because God has worked in us a great salvation. He's given us a great salvation. We are His workmanship. We work because we're commanded to work. We work to provide for ourselves and for our family, both now and in the future. And we work to have something to give. I pray that God will give us a proper perspective on our work. Let us close with a short prayer, and then we will sing together. Father, your word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. I do ask that, Father, you would provide for the needs of every person in this room. Lord, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills, and it is your good pleasure to give us the things that we need. May we live in a way that is obedient to your commands, that we are loving you. God, let us love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let us love our neighbor as ourself. Help us to trust you. Lord, let us not labor for ourselves. Let us labor for your glory. Each one here, from the youngest child that can understand what I'm saying, I pray that you would work in them a desire to labor in a way that glorifies you. From the oldest one here, let them not sit down in retirement, but Lord, let them labor for your namesake. Oh, you are so glorious, Lord. You have, Jesus, laid down your own life. You have toiled and you have finished the work that is necessary to accomplish our salvation. We rejoice in the finished work of Christ. Now may we go forth and labor for your name. It's through Jesus we pray it. Amen.